OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Gave you a little bit of extra music time here. Got started a little bit late here, but we are live here. It is 2:19 p.m. Central Time, and we are back online here and getting ready for a few weeks from now. A little over 2 weeks from now, we will be headed to Canada. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the work that God has called us to do. And pretty excited about that. You pray for us as the Lord uses us for his glory and his honor. We pray that that would be the case, that God would bless us and help us and guide us through all these things. You continue to pray for us about that. We are excited about what the Lord is going to do in Canada and abroad. Amen. As we go from there and we go over to New England. I'm looking forward to New England. Okay. And the many things. And Andrew and I, and mostly Andrew, because a lot of it is him left here. I am hoping tonight, if it's possible, that I will finish doing the final draft for him to put the closing on the Coliseum. So that means that I'm going to be watching 4 hours of video tonight. Wow. Anyway, but that's what that means. And if that's the case, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. And then we will show that this Sunday. I'll probably speed it up for me when I'm watching it, since I'm the one that did it and I've done it like at least. I've watched this video a lot. So anyway, but we will show that at Old Paths Baptist Church. And we will show that this coming Sunday, I should say. This coming Sunday, we will show in the afternoon service, we will show the Coliseum video. And then we will put the Coliseum video live, a live premiere on Rumble, on Sermon Audio, and on YouTube. It will be live and on Facebook. It'll be live May 10th. So Friday, I think Friday is May 10th. I think that's right. Friday, May 10th at like 5 or 6 p.m. Probably, I'm guessing 6 p.m. for people in the U.S. So 6 p.m., it'll go live. That'll be late for some of you folks overseas. I don't think Carl will be able to watch it live because Carl's got to get some sleep. So you folks over in England will have to wait. Or I could premiere it. Well, no, that's too early. I was going to say I could premiere it at 2 p.m. Central at my normal broadcast time on Friday. And I could start it then, and it's 4 hours, so it'll go till 6. I could do that, but that's too early for people to watch it. You know, they can't catch it like that. So anyway, I don't know how it's going to work. We'll figure that out. I could do it in lieu of my broadcast a week from this Friday, and I could start it at 2 p.m. But most people be working, but I'm not too concerned with that because the church, you know, our church will have already watched it, and that's who first and foremost I'm concerned with as that in that case. And then secondly, of course, all of you. So I could start it at 2 p.m. I could do that. I could premiere it at 2 p.m. on Friday night, on Friday afternoon, for a week from this Friday. Not this Friday. A week from this Friday. So it'd be May 10th. I could premiere it at 2 o'clock. So, anyway, maybe we'll do that. right? Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll just do that, okay? So anyway, you keep, we're working. All right? We will keep working on it. Praise the Lord. All right. But that's probably what I'm going to do. And that way it gives people, that's 4 hours. It's long. So then I will be releasing it. I'll be releasing it in, I will be releasing it in chapters also. We'll upload it in chapters. In fact, I'll premiere it in chapters probably after the initial premiere. I might do one premiere every evening, right? So I could do one premiere, one chapter premiere a couple times, two or three times a week. I'll put it in segments. Man, that's a great idea. That's marketing strategy. I'm going to make millions. Oh, wait, it's free. Never mind. I'm not going to make millions. What am I talking about? I don't have a subscription, you know. I'm going to charge. You're going to get early content. You need to join my club. I don't have one. I'm going to charge you $50 a month. What's going on here? I'm just kidding. I am going to put these on DVD, and I'm going to make these available to all of you for free. And if you want to donate something to our ministry, I will send these DVDs out to anybody you want. And if you will donate to our ministry, that's great. If you don't, the Lord will take care of us. But I intend to get these in the hands of as many people as I possibly can. Like we did years ago with Hollywood Satanic Roots, and probably a million people have seen Hollywood Satanic Roots. That seems crazy to me. But when you add up the different numbers, because there were numbers at a time when, like, the Vigilant Christian and other people had that on there, there were literally hundreds of thousands. There still are. There are hundreds of thousands of downloads out there of Hollywood Satanic Roots. It went everywhere. I want that to happen with this Coliseum. I want it to go everywhere. And hey, whatever people do send in, it'll go to support the ministry. Yes, Carl, I will bring those. I don't know if Erica's listening right now, if Micah is listening right now, or any of those. As soon as we are ready, guys, as soon as this is done, I need to put this, we need to get our DVD duplicators out that we never got rid of and make about 100 or 200 copies of those DVDs and get those ready. I might actually invest in some memory sticks. Micah, you need to find out if I can get those. I don't know if Micah, we got to put you to work, man. You got to start thinking. You got to help your old pastor out here and figure out. But we need some memory sticks also, and we could send those memory sticks instead of DVDs if people want memory sticks. We'll put that 4 hours memory on a memory stick. And if people want to contribute to our ministry, if they want to donate to us, that's fine. If you don't want to, you do not have to worry about it. I am not going to be upset with you. All right? I am not going to be. So you have to understand that. I really do believe that God takes care of this. Do you realize that God sent me to Europe last year with Brother Andrew and helping Carl and Mary also? And we were not chargeable to anybody wherever we went. The Lord just provided for us. And Brother Joe was a blessing to us when we were in Ireland for a short stop. And, you know, God took care of us. He'll take care of us again with all these things. But I want that Coliseum to go out everywhere. That is a message that people need to hear. And it's only part one. But anyway, we'll save that for later. All right. And by God's grace, if it's his will, I'll go back to Europe next year with my wife. All right? I will provide those DVDs. God will provide them. Old Paths Baptist Church will provide them by the grace of Almighty God. And if you want to donate to that, praise the Lord. It'll help our ministry. It'll help get me around where I need to go, wherever it is. If I go to Europe, if I go to Canada, if I go wherever. Amen. So anyway, and by the way, Pastor Jeffrey's church has been very generous to us for Canada. All right. So I'm not, I want you to understand that. I love that man. I haven't met him yet. And I love him. I'm telling you, he's a blessing. And him and I are going to enjoy each other's company there. And we're going to be an encouragement to one another while we're there. So I'm looking forward to all that work. Okay. That God has for us. Well, last year my wife was with child and it just wasn't the right situation for her to go. But given the light of everything else, the Lord has kind of guided me in that direction. So anyway, hey, God told us to love one another, right? So we do love one another. I do love people. I couldn't pastor people without loving them. Oh my goodness. You can't pastor people, not love them. You'd go absolutely insane. You gotta love people. There's nothing effeminate about that. It's actually very masculine because Jesus was the same way. The Bible says he loved his own even to the end. And he says that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid out his life for his friends. And Jesus said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Right? So, anyway. Well, this one's only 6 months old, and typically our babies don't come before about 2 years after, typically. So, anyway. So typically they don't come until that time. That's not because we prevent anything. That's the way her body works. So, we do nurse our babies all the way up till 2 years old. So, anyway, and with her, if she's nursing, she doesn't really, you know, she doesn't really get pregnant. So, anyway, now, my son's birthday is today. My oldest son. He just turned 19. He just got his driver's license today, so he's pretty happy about that. So, praise the Lord for that. And he passed his test and got his driver's license, and he's ready to roll. So, guess what he gets to do? He gets to help me drive to Canada. Woo! He's going to help me drive through New England. He doesn't know that. But if he thinks he's going to sit on his phone and listen to music while I'm driving 18 hours, he's nuttier than a poop house rat. He's going with me. He's driving some. Woo! Yeah! Amen. So, praise the Lord. Amen. He's driving, man. He's earning his keep. I'm so blessed. Listen to this. And I'm going to get started here. I promise you I am. But I try to inform you of things and talk to you, you know, like we're real people and not like I'm talking at you. I don't do that. And if you're looking for a broadcast that just people talk at you and just dump loads of information on you, I do dump loads of information on you. But I talk to you too because I consider you my friends. So I don't just do that, right? So anyway, I actually try to be personal. You could ask Carl. I'm the same way. When you could ask Joe, you ask Carl, you ask Pete and Michelle, you ask any. I don't treat people. I don't treat them like that. I'm as real as the day is long when it comes to that stuff. So I like to get to know people. I don't do that. I talk to people. So praise the Lord. We are getting on our way, okay? And by the way, Daryl and Teresa, I'm going to grab Daryl. You wait till I see Daryl. I'm going to pick him up and give him a big old bear hug. You tell me you better be ready. Right? Better be ready. Brother, someday I'm coming. I know I'll be to Pennsylvania. Someday, brother, I'll be there. I will. Hey, keep praying for Mary. I want to see her get that visa. You can pray for Mary's visa and my MasterCard. Right? Anyway, so praise the Lord. I'm getting excited. We are 2 weeks away. We're finishing up the Coliseum. It is like nose to the grindstone time. And by the way, we can feel it around here. We are busy just getting prepared, everything, doing our normal things. But my son is going to be helping in New England with the camera work and on the street, probably with Brother Andrew there in Canada. My daughter's going to be chronicling everything. She's going to be writing running a daily kind of vlog, or actually she's going to take a diary of it, but I might vlog it on there. Right? I don't hug women, Michelle, except my wife and my daughters and my mother. And really old ladies sometimes. I don't really do that. You know, I just don't. It's not because I don't care for you. I make it a habit not to touch women that aren't mine. You know what I mean? But if somebody walked up and hugged me, I wouldn't be like they're like the plague and I wouldn't like run from them. Okay. I don't do that either. I'm not going to treat somebody. I've had people do that, or women do that. I've had them do that. I don't do that, okay? I'm not, but I make it a habit. I don't really touch women, you know, too much. I don't do that. Except my own, you know, my daughters and my, you know, it's appropriate. You know, I'm very appropriate with that. I don't do that. Because pastors get in trouble like that. So I remember Keith Gomez used to say, he was a pastor, he just retired from the ministry there, but he used to say, from pastoring, but he used to say, that he had a policy that he wouldn't hug over 60 women unless they were like close to their 60s or in their 60s. But he got closer to being 60 and he goes, can't do that anymore either, because he's getting so anyway. But I don't do that. I'm very careful about that. I just am. You know? Right. But I will hug Daryl. I do hug men, but I'm very careful with that. So anyway. All right, everybody. Well, I'll shake your hand. I'm not gonna snub you. But I'm just careful about that. I have to be, because Satan's always after me. So I have to be careful. All right, everybody, let's get into our broadcast. But by the way, just keep praying. Man, I'm gonna tell you what. Hannah made me this coffee. This coffee from Blue Nose is so good. She made me this coffee. Woo, man, is it good coffee. Man, it's got good flavor. Grandpa bought it for me. I call my dad Grandpa because all the kids call him Grandpa. But anyway. If you want to pray for our ministry, please do. Number one, pray for our ministry. Number two, if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can PayPal us. And please do think about giving to our ministry this next 2 or 3 weeks. This next month is going to be expensive. There's going to be expenses going out because I'm on the road. All the bills here need to be paid. I'm going on the road. Food expenses, travel expenses, all those things. All right? But if you could never give a dime, keep listening. Pray for me. I don't care. I really don't. I would love you and care for you and be there for you regardless if you ever gave me a dime. I don't care about that. It's given to the Lord's work, okay? But anyway, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Or you could Venmo at PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Or you could do Apple Pay. Or you could do what Alvin calls the ghetto payment plan, which is Cash App. I don't know why he calls it that. But anyway. And if you can't do anything, pray for me. Pray God touches somebody else's heart. Okay, on to the broadcast. Let's go. Let's move. We got an hour and 20 minutes here to get a lot done. We're going to get back in this book. Remember, I showed you this book, Woman in the New Race. Remember that? Woman in the New Race. And we talked about that and how absolutely wicked Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was. But this was part of Satan's attack on womanhood. This is the attack. On womanhood. What did she try to do? She tried to really make woman 2.0. She tried to replace women. She tried to replace her with Satan's version of a woman. I call it woman 2.0. Let's show woman a replacement for what God says. Here we have it. In Titus chapter 2, we have what God says about the woman. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. So it talks about the aged men. Then it talks about the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober. Why? Because they're not. The aged men have to teach sobriety too. Why? Because young men are not sober. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. What is that? Well, to Margaret Sanger, the feminist and the eugenicist and the evolutionist and the survival of the fittest, what is she? What is that to her? It's a chain. But to us, it is safety. Never listen to me and listen to me good. Never look at the Christian life as it is some kind of chain that you're chained in a dungeon. But look at it as if you get to live in a wonderful castle protected from the enemy. Because that's what biblical Christianity is. Biblical Christianity, the guidelines that are there, they are there. The biblical guidelines are there. Watch what he says here again. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You know how many women give Satan the ammo that he needs to speak reproachfully? Satan is the adversary. He is the enemy of all righteousness. He is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of marriage. He is the enemy of the wife. He is the enemy of the husband. He is the enemy of the children. And he has a whole army out there of enemies that are working against God's people. And women are giving occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. What does that mean? It's the same thing when David, the man after God's own heart, sinned. You are doing, when you don't follow the biblical order of God's order, the husband, the head of the wife, the keeper at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. When that is not followed, when you elect not to follow that, you are causing the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme God, like David did. That's the same thing. You are causing the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme God. You're giving them occasion. You're giving them a reason to. You're giving them a way to blaspheme God. It is extremely wicked. And it is very dangerous. It must be avoided. You must follow God's order. But Margaret Sanger, in her book, I'm going to read you some things that she says about the two classes of women. Then we're going to get into the chapter today, hopefully, Lord willing. We're going to get into the chapter of the wickedness of creating large families. The wickedness of creating large families. That's what she called it. Just like that woman said to me outside of Planned Parenthood. She said I was the problem with the world today. Why? Because I had 8 children. Raging, baby murdering feminist. And they can't stand the fact that there's some preachers that'll stand up and square their shoulders to them, look those Jezzies right in the eye, and tell them the truth of what God's word says. Man, they can't handle that. They can't figure out why I'm not whimpering in the corner, crying in the fetal position, sucking on my thumb like all the beta males they're used to. And I look at them just like I look at everybody else. And tell them the truth, and they cannot understand how a man can stand up. And I'll tell you how. It's because I have the Spirit of God in me. I have the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why. That's why I can stand, square my shoulders, look that Jezebel right in the eye, and tell her the truth. That's why. That's why. And they're not used to that. And it's not just me. It's 15 other men that are with me. Boy, that's intimidating to them, wicked, murdering women. It's intimidating to them. Why? Because they can't believe that there's actually a bunch of... And you know what else they can't believe? They can't believe that we have a church full of godly women that believe the same thing, that pray for us while we're out there, that take care of our children while we're out there. They say, where's your women? You know what we tell them? They're home taking care of the babies they didn't murder through human abortion. That literally makes their brains want to melt. They're home taking care of the babies that they didn't murder. That's what I tell them. Your average fundy pastor ain't gonna tell them that. They don't go after the culture and embrace and stand up to it and preach. They've embraced the culture. They're so nice and sweet and pretty and cute. I'm so sick and tired of these fundies dressing in their nice little suits and everything like that, and dressing in their posh little programs and everything else. While the whole world's going to hell, their children, their churches are turned into a bunch of queers, and they can't stand up, square their shoulders, and preach the word of God. You want to know why most men don't want to follow you, and they want to walk away, and they're sick and tired of it? Because they think you're a bunch of Fruit Loops. That's why. They don't think you're out to fight anything. They don't think you're fighting for the Lord. Is that too straight for you? You that are listening, is that too much? Is that a little too strong? I'm tired of watching a bunch of pansy waste men stand up and apologize for God in his book. I'm sick and tired of watching them do it. It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing to watch. They're afraid to be men. That's what it is. They're just absolutely terrified to be men. Or they don't have any manhood left. It's been drained out by a bunch of Jezebels. But God is gathering up men, though, that are willing to say, you know what? I'm a little tired of this. And no, the answer isn't to, what's that one stupid group that's out there going our own way or something stupid? Well, you're a devil if you go your own way. You're not supposed to go your own way, you little devil. If you turn into a queer little devil, I'm going to go my own way.com or whatever stupid name that is. No, follow the scriptures. Follow the word of God. Go your own way. No, you go God's way. You follow the scriptures. That's what you do. Is that real preaching too much for you? MGTOWs. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You mean to tell me you're going to let some Jezebel women turn you off of women and you're going to go your own, whatever in the world that means anyway? Really? Well, I think you're a pansy. That's what I think you are. You're a little modern day limp-wristed baby sucking your thumb in the corner. Why don't you be a man, get saved by the grace of God, and follow the scriptures, and war a good warfare as God has called you to do? Bunch of babies. I mean, you go my own way. Stupid. Yeah, that'll get you far. You know where your own way will get you? Straight into hell. Straight into hell. That's where your own way is going to get you. You want to go your own way? Your own way is hell. That's your own way. Sound good to you? That's what most rebels want to do, is go their own way. Okay, anyway. Now we'll get started. She goes on to say, most women, this is Margaret Sanger, by the way, in her book. Margaret Sanger, most women who belong to the workers' families have no accurate or reliable knowledge of contraceptives and are therefore bringing children to the world so rapidly that they, their families, and their class are overwhelmed with numbers. Out of these numbers, as has been shown, have grown many of the burdens with which society in general is weighed. Do you realize now, right now, we don't have enough children in America? My wife sent me an article, and I don't know if she could find it again. Hannah, if you could find it again, send it to me. But she showed me the birth rate. And the birth rate is lower than it was for the COVID dip. Hey, or the COVID rise that we had. Why did it rise in COVID? I'll tell you. Because all the men and women were home together. They couldn't go anywhere. What happens when husbands and wives are home together? They don't have anywhere to go. They make babies. That's what happens. They make babies. Huh. Is that how that happens, huh? Yeah, that's how that happens. In case you didn't figure that out. Okay. So now Margaret Sanger's plan, 100 years later, we don't have enough children. China is begging them to have babies. She goes on to say, it is the woman who suffers first from hunger. The woman whose clothing is least adequate. The woman who must work all hours, even though she is not compelled, as in the case of millions, to go into a factory to add to her husband's scanty income. It is she, too, whose health breaks first and most hopelessly under the long hours of work, the drain of frequent childbearing, and often almost constant nursing of babies. And after the almost constant nursing of babies, she literally acts like the woman's cattle. Right? She acts like they're cattle. She treats them like they're animals. She treats the children like they're parasites. There are no eight-hour laws to protect the mother against overwork and toil in the home. No laws to protect her against ill health and the disease of pregnancy and reproduction. The diseases of pregnancy and reproduction. No law to protect her against ill health. No eight-hour rule. In fact, there's been almost no thought of consideration given for the protection of the mother in the home or the working man. You know what destroyed the labor movement in America? Women going to work. Women going to work destroyed the labor movement in America. Second thing that destroyed the labor movement in America, abortion. We don't have enough workers. You killed them all. You killed them all. Where's your workers at today? You killed them all. Birth control. I'm going to mark it down. Write it down. Remember it. Quote me on it. Birth control is antichrist. Birth control is satanic. Okay. There are no general health statistics to tell the full story of the physical ills suffered by women as a result of too great a reproductivity. Okay, so, by the way, the most unhealthy women you will ever meet are women that have purposely taken chemicals to stop pregnancy. They are the most unhealthy women. Many of them end up with cancer. Many of them end up with really poor reproductive systems that destroy, and their bodies are destroyed. God made a woman to have babies. If she can't, that's one thing. In 1913, in this country, at least 15,000 women, it is estimated, died from conditions caused by childbirth. So what's her answer? Not make conditions better for childbirth. Don't have babies. What a dummy. You know what that's like saying? That's like saying, we've had a lot of problem with growing vegetables. So the answer is to never grow vegetables. What a dummy. What an absolute satanic dummy. I have no respect for these people. They are murderers. They are butchers. That's who they are. I don't have any respect for them. I don't talk like John MacArthur. I don't talk like those other boys. I don't talk all neat and sweet and pretty like they do. I just tell you how it is. Like Elijah told them. Like John the Baptist told them. Just straightforward. You're a bunch of heathens. You do what heathens do. In 1930, okay, so she said, it is estimated those from conditions caused by about 7,000 of these died from childbed fever and the remaining 8,000 from disease, now known to be a great extent preventable or curable. Think of it, the needless deaths of 15,000 women, a great understatement. Yet even this number means that virtually every hour of the day and night, two women die as a result of childbirth. So, in other words, she wants you to understand. She wants you to understand that since childbirth is dangerous, you should stop having babies. Isn't that danger what was promised with the curse? With the fall of man? Wasn't that what the Bible said would happen? What are they trying to do? They're trying to undo the curse. They're trying to undo the fall of man and the sin of the woman. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. See, God said that this was going to happen. Right? God said that was going to happen. Death would come, sorrow would come. God said that would happen. That would be what would happen. Here we go. For what sort of homes comes these deaths from childbirth? Most of them occur in overcrowded dwellings. Oh, overcrowded dwellings. Where food, care, sanitation, nursing, and medical attention are inadequate. Where do we find most of the tuberculosis and much of the other diseases which is aggravated by pregnancy? In the same sort of home. Do you see what she's saying? She's literally saying that, well, because people get sick and stuff, you should not have babies. What was she? A witch. She hated her own children. You can go back and listen to my Margaret Sanger sermon that I did back in 2015. She stinking hates children. She hated them. Now she's burning in hell for all of eternity for her sin and her wickedness. and her hatred for God and her rebellion. And by the way, spare me the, well, you don't know if like the last breath she had when she was going, she asked Jesus to save her. See, the Bible says you can know who's saved and who's not, what a Christian is. Obviously, we can't know 100% about people in that sense. But we know that those that have repented and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have reason to believe that they are saved and that they walk in the fear of the Lord and they have good fruit of repentance in their life. It's really okay to say that people that professed to be antichrist died and went to hell. You know that's good gospel preaching to tell people that? That those that were professed antichrist died and went to hell? It's okay to tell people that. It's actually biblical to tell them that. The deadly chain of misery is all too plain to anyone who takes the trouble to observe it. A woman of the working class marries with her husband, lives in a degree of comfort upon his earnings. Her household duties are not beyond her strength. Then children begin to come. 1, 2, 3, 4, possibly 5 or more. The earnings of the husband do not increase as rapidly as the family does. Food, clothing, general comfort of the home grow less as the numbers of the family increase. The woman's work grows heavier and her strength is less with each child. Probably she has to go into a factory to add to her husband's earnings. Not according to God, she doesn't. Not according to God, she doesn't. Her health goes and the crowded conditions and lack of necessities in the home help to bring those diseases about. You know, the problem is, by the way, if you want to get poorer like that or ruin your life, ruin your family's life, go ahead and ignore God's principles and go to work outside of the home. Go to work outside of the home. Men, send your wives to work, ruin your children, raise them outside, let somebody else raise your children, and watch how poor you really are when you get older. Watch how your children don't grow up to follow God's way. They get married and they follow the same bad track record, and they send their wife, and they go to work, or they send their, or they go after a career to make money. God has provided for every man in this church. God has provided for every man at Old Paths Baptist Church. Those men have obeyed the Lord. They have went and made money. They have served the Lord. And they have sent their wives home to take care of their families and to take care of their children. Take care of the husband first, the children second. Every single family is provided for. Every single one. That's right, Michelle. A wife is to stay home even if there are no children. Every single one of them has been taken care of. No one is wanting for anything financially. And none of us are rich. Well, we are rich, but not financially rich. We are rich in the Lord. We are rich with blessings. If my ministry, by the grace of God, if my ministry, if I finish my course and I pray to be an old man, to live to be an old man, I want to grow old with my wife, I want to live to be 90 years old, grow old with her, see my children and my grandchildren, maybe even my great-grandchildren. Who knows? Maybe that'll be a possibility, right? If I can see them grow up and serve the Lord and be faithful to God in this one message, that they understood, number one, the gospel, and number two, that their wives would be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, and that they followed a good gospel order. They raised their boys to be men. They raised their girls to be godly, holy wives and mothers. I will have got a major message out in this generation. I will have accomplished by the grace of God what God has called me to do, and I can go home and I can go to sleep in the Lord knowing that I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'll be pleased. I'm telling you that'll be if this ministry gets that message out to thousands upon thousands, and they change the ungodly order that they followed, and they change it to a godly biblical order, the husband being the head of the wife, the wife following her husband. Amen. My desire is to influence many people in this generation with that truth. Amen. So if families are strong, if the foundation, remember our text verse for this, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Our churches are failing, and this is the one reason. Foundations are being destroyed. The foundation of the family. Right? That's the goal. How you doing, Brother Ross? Good to see you on here. I love you, brother. Hope you're doing well. We're praying for your throat. We're praying for you. All right, continuing on here. I'm not going to continue to read. I'm going to read you part of these. It goes without saying that this woman loses also all opportunity of personal expression outside her home. She has neither a chance to develop social qualities nor to indulge in social pleasures. See, when the Bible is your rule of faith and practice, where in the world is this woman to express herself outside of her home? She's not. She's not. You know, Rachel, that's interesting. You said you're thankful for that vision, and I praise the Lord for it. There was a time in my ministry that I wondered, you know, kind of what God's vision was for me. In that sense, for the future, what God, a vision for my people, a vision for the church, a vision for the work of God. And though we were continuing to do things for the Lord and continuing on for the Lord, God showed me, slowly he has showed me and revealed to me, if God would have gave me this vision 10 years ago, I would have failed. Because I had to go through some things. I had to be sobered up in order for God to show me what he had for me. I had to be ready to receive that. And it took some time. I had to go through some things. And God is slowly unveiling that and all these different things. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed at it. It truly is a blessing. And to have vision for people in your church and to have vision for the different things that God is able to accomplish through them. So anyway, the feminine element in her, that spirit which blossoms forth now and then in women, free from such burdens, cannot assert itself. She can contribute nothing to the well-being of the community. She is a... Now listen, what did she just say? She said that a keeper at home contributes nothing to the community. That is a lie. I would venture to say, not venture to say, I would say that she does more for the community It says, she looketh well to the ways of her household, needeth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Listen to what she says about woman. This is what she says thinks about keepers at home. This is what feminists think about you. This is what the Antichrist evolutionary system thinks about you. And to the shame of most independent Baptist pastors out there who have lost the vision of truth, who have not spoke boldly about this, they think this too. Not to the extent that she does. But they think it. She says, she is a breeding machine and a drudge. She is not an asset, but a liability to her neighborhood. Well, let me stop there for a second. Just so you know, like, concerning a neighborhood, the women that are keepers at home, they're always the ones that everyone in the neighborhood asks to do something because they know the woman is home. They're always the ones that people look for help. Why? Because they're dependable. Because the keepers at home are dependable. In sharp contrast with these women who ignorantly bring forth large families and who thereby enslave themselves, we find a few women who have one, two, or three children or no children at all. These women, with the exception of the childless ones, live full, rounded lives. They are found not only in the ranks of the rich and the well-to-do, but in the ranks of the labor as well. They have but one point of basic difference from their enslaved sisters. They are not burdened with the rearing of large families. Did you hear what she said? They are not burdened with the rearing of large families. So the Bible says it's a blessing. She says it's a burden. I have a question for all of you moms out there. Christian moms. Do you consider it a burden or a blessing, your family? Do you treat your children like there are some burdens that are in your way of your life? They interrupt your fun. They interrupt your life. They interrupt your work. They interrupt what you want to do. I wonder, if you treat your children like that, you're treating your children just like Margaret Sanger. Just how she viewed them. Repent of this. Get your heart right with God. Know that that's the work that God has called you to do. She says, we have no need to call upon the historian, the sociologist, nor the statistician for our knowledge of this situation. We meet it every day in the ordinary routine of our lives. The women who are the great teachers, the great writers, the artists, the musicians, the physicians, the leaders of the public movements, the great suffragists, reformers, labor leaders, and revolutionaries are those who are not compelled to give lavishly of their physical and spiritual strength in bearing and rearing large families. Wow. Sounds kind of hateful, doesn't she? That's pretty bad, isn't it? The situation is too familiar for discussion, where a woman with a large family is contributing directly to the progress of her times or the betterment of social conditions. It is usually because she has sufficient wealth to employ trained nurses, governesses, and others who perform the duties necessary to child rearing. She is a rarity and universally recognized as such. So what she's saying is if you were rich, right? Then you'd be all right. You could have bigger families, but you still shouldn't. That's what she's saying. You still shouldn't have big families. Right? That's what they're saying. Why? Because they have hate. She has hate in her heart. She's satanic. The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. I had a Ruckmanite tell me one time, he was like, look, my wife doesn't have to have a lot of children. That was given in the Noahic covenant. So dispensationally speaking, God doesn't want us to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Oh, I get it. So you're supposed to take birth control and kill your babies, you stinking loser? So much for being a Bible believer, right? As the Ruckmanites pride themselves in being Bible believers. Ah. See, he done chopped half the Bible up to get rid of it, huh? Nice. Great story. Right? So basically what she's saying is that they never add anything to the family or to the community. Really? Guess what? How about you can't have a country unless you start having babies? Because you're never going to have a country without children. How are you going to have a country without children? Right? You can't. They don't like that, though, do they? Man, I'm getting coffee grounds. There's coffee grounds, little pieces of coffee grounds that are getting stuck in my throat. All right, Hannah, if you're listening, have one of the children, please, run me up a bottle of water. I'm going to need some water. I have that throat spray, but I actually need some water. because the end of that coffee is there. I'm at the end of the coffee. All right. It's getting me, right? My throat. Wow. It's sticking. It's about like that, Carl, right now with that little, those little pieces. All right. The women with small families, however, are free to make their choice of those social pleasures, which are the right of every human being and necessary to each one's full development. So you should have small families. Why? You should have small families, they say. And really what they mean is none at all. Because they hate God. Oh, they detest mothers. You have to understand, this Antichrist, she re-imaged motherhood. Or she re-imaged the woman. I want you to think about how antichrist it is for a government for people to tell you how many children to have. Now, me, I'll tell you what God says. And if you don't want to obey the Lord, that's up to you. But I will tell you what God says in His Word. But I can't force anything on you. I can't force anything. I can't force you to do anything, right? You know, one of the comments she says is, we must set motherhood free. We must give the foreign and submerged mother knowledge that will enable her to prevent bringing to birth children she does not want. I have a question for you. Why would a married couple not want children? I'll show you why. Here it is, twice in the New Testament for you. Remember, I preached on Romans chapter 1 one time, and I told you that Romans chapter 1 is the blueprint for the destruction of society. Any society will be destroyed by this blueprint. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. That's why. It's not natural for a husband and a wife to not want children. It's not natural.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yep. No, that's okay. It's okay. I'll drink it straight. Thank you.
It's without natural affection. That's what it is. Whoa, that's got a lot of iron in it. I'd be like Iron Man here. Anyway. Woo!
Youch!
We must set motherhood free. What? They have no natural affection. With truce, and then 2 Timothy 3:3 tells us this: know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Why don't they want children today? Because they are lovers of their own selves. That's why. That's why they don't want children. They're lovers of their own selves. Selfish. Very selfish people. You watch them, they're extremely selfish people. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. It is normal when a man and a woman comes together that they want to have babies. That's natural. It's what comes natural. Someone has to teach you not to do that. They have to indoctrinate you to not do that. That's what has to happen. If you're indoctrinated into that, you won't. We know that in each of these submerged and semi-submerged elements of the population, there are rich factors of racial culture. Motherhood is the channel through which these cultures flow. Motherhood, when free to choose the father, free to choose the time and the number of children who shall result from the union, automatically works in wondrous ways. It refuses to bring forth weaklings. Oh my goodness. By the way, I have a question for you. You mothers, if you had a premature baby, and it was weak, or you had a baby that was weak, would you want to choose to just kill it? I'm going to ask you mothers that question. Could you answer me? Every mother on this thread, there's 90 people on this right now, okay? There's 90 people. I'm going to give you an opportunity to answer this. If you had a weak child, would you want to kill it? I'm just curious. Maybe you could answer that question for me. I'll play this song and I'll give you a chance to answer that. I'll just let you comment in the comment section.
Oh, how well do I remember when our family used to sing. We'd smile and raise our voices to the King of Kings. We sang about our Savior and His everlasting love. And we sang about those mansions He's preparing above. Amazing grace, how firm a foundation. All hail the power of Jesus' name. When we all get to heaven and we gather round the throne, I'll still love to sing those good old hymns we sang back home.
My mother sang the alto, my dad played his guitar.
We never used the music, 'cause we knew each song by heart.
I tried to sing the tenor,
and me, I sang the bass.
We could see the joy of Jesus shining on every face. Amazing grace, how firm a foundation. All hail the power of Jesus.
Jesus' name. When we all get to heaven and we gather round the throne, I'll still love to sing those good old hymns we sang back home.
I memorized each melody, I learned to sing each part. The message of that music found a home deep in my heart. I still love to praise my Savior, I still sing for Him today. All those hymns I learned at Mother's knee will never fade away. Amazing grace, how firm a foundation. All hail the power of Jesus' name. When we all get to heaven and we gather round the throne, I'll still love to sing those good old hymns we sang back home. I'll still love to sing those good old hymns we sang back home.
Amen. All right. So I asked that question. And every mother on here said, no, absolutely not. And it makes me want to cry because these people are sick. Okay. They're very sick people. And I just think about it and they're possessed. It's horrible. It's one of the most horrible things I can think of, to take some innocent life and to weed out the weakling, as she calls it. I mean, here's what I would, there's like two sides of being a man, okay? There's a tender side that Jesus wept. And there's the other side that when life is threatened, you know, you want a war. If I was in the nation of Israel back in the times of the Old Testament, I probably would have been in line to throw Jezebel off the top of the tower. I'd have been right there with Jehu. Because it not only makes me sad, but it makes me angry. Because these people they're vile. It's wicked. And I know they need to be saved, but they are very devil-possessed, wicked people. They're very wicked. It refuses to bring forth weaklings, refuses to bring forth slaves, refuses to bear children who might live under the conditions described. It withholds the unfit, brings forth the fit, brings few children into homes where there is not sufficient to provide for them. See, these people have no faith. What did Jesus say about that? Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It withholds the unfit, brings forth the fit. It withholds the unfit. She's talking about babies. Brings forth the fit, brings few children to the home where there's not sufficient to provide for them. Instinctively, it avoids all those things which multiply racial handicaps. What? Oh, yeah. You guys remember when I was standing outside of Planned Parenthood preaching with our men at Old Paz Baptist Church, and I looked at those two black security guards? Remember that? Who remembers that? Who remembers me preaching outside there this year? There's two black security guards, and I looked at them, and I said, you do realize that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, was a eugenicist? Do you realize that? Do you realize that they put those abortion clinics in poor black neighborhoods so they could murder those children? Do you understand that? Do you understand you're a traitor to your own people? Do you get that? I looked at him and told him. Okay, I'm going to say something to you that might make you upset and might have somebody call me a racist. But you want to know who the real Tobies are and the real slaves are? It's those guys. Enslaving their own people. Murdering. Working for the white slave trade. I'm going to say it again. Working for the white slave trade. You're working for people that are killing your own people. They're murdering your own sons and daughters. Putting them to death. And you're standing outside there protecting them. You should be standing in line with me. You should be preaching with me while I'm out there. You should be holding a sign up against them and against the genocide or the eugenics and the destruction of your own people. She said instinctively it avoids all those things which multiply racial handicaps. Under such circumstances, we can hope that the melting pot will refine. Oh, wow. We shall see that it will save the precious metals of racial culture. Fused in the amalgam of physical perfection. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe it? This is the Pope's white power structure. That's what people don't understand. It's the Pope's white power structure. On one hand, they do forced amalgamations and they force Muslims into white Arabian Muslims into white neighborhoods and have them rape them in, like in the UK, what they're doing, and force amalgamating them there. Not somebody just coming over the border and doing that. No, forced amalgamation there. Secondly, though, they're white slave traders. Murdering the blacks. It is white power. It is what it, that is what it is. It's a deadly game. She said, "We shall see that it will save the precious metals of racial culture, fused into amalgam of physical perfection, mental strength, and spiritual progress. Such an American race containing the best of all racial elements could give to the world a vision and a leadership beyond our present imagination." She says they can be and are each according to her individual. Women with small families, however, are free to make their choice of those social pleasures which are right to every human being and necessary to each one's full development. They can be and are each according to her individual capacity, comrades and companions to their husbands, a privilege denied to the mother of many children. There is the opportunity to keep abreast of the times, to make and cultivate a varied circle of friends, to seek amusements and suits their tastes and means, to know the meaning of real recreation. Being a whore, that's what she's really talking about. All these things remain unrealized, desired to the prolific mother. Now she's going to talk about that wicked feminist spirit, that antichrist feminine spirit. Women who have a knowledge of contraceptives are not compelled to make the choice between maternal experience and a marred love life. They are not forced to balance motherhood against social and spiritual activities. She's talking about the feminine spirit. She's talking about a woman being a man. She's talking about woman 2.0, the female man. She's talking about the female man. That's what she's talking about. Don't get it confused. Woman to make the choice between a maternal experience and a marred love life. I don't have a marred love life, and neither does my wife have a marred love life. The fruit of our love life is our children that God has given us. That is the fruit of our love life. Do you get that? The children that the Lord God has given us is the fruit of our love life. That's the fruit of it. They are. Our children are the fruit of our love life. They don't get that. Motherhood is for them to choose, as it should be, for every woman to choose. Choosing to become mothers, you do. When you get married, you choose to be a mother. That's how it works. If you don't want to be a mother, don't get married. Then you don't have to worry about having babies or being a mother. Don't get married. It's as simple as that. Choose. choosing to become mothers, they do not thereby shut themselves away from thorough companionship with their husbands. My children don't shut my wife and I away from thorough companionship. They are the fruit of our true biblical love. That is just unreal. My children don't lessen my companionship with my wife. The Bible doesn't call it companionship. It calls it one flesh. Our children are the fruit of us being one flesh. These people are so absolutely satanic. But it's good that we're going over this so you understand this. Are you learning something from this? I hope you are. I hope you're paying attention and learning something. Because you're learning the philosophies of Antichrist right here. You're learning to understand what we preach and what they believe, the reason why they believe it. They are the principles of Antichrist. They are the attack on the marriage and the home. That's what it is. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Choosing to become mothers, they do not thereby shut themselves away from thorough companionship with their husbands, from friends, from culture, from all those manifold experiences which are necessary to the completeness of the joy of life. Jesus is necessary for the completion of the joy of life. Jesus said, no man can take our joy. And your joy no man taketh from you. God, a woman will be joyful when she fulfills the purpose that God has for her in Christ. The purpose is for her to be a godly lady, a godly wife, and a godly mother in the Lord. When she fulfills that purpose, she is blessed. She is joyful. She is complete. See, what does the Bible say about that? I'll show you. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. When you're obeying the will of God, you are tried by faith. Your faith is tried. Your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work. She goes on to say, fit mothers of the race are these, the courted comrades of the men they choose, rather than the slaves of slaves. My wife is not my comrade. She's my one flesh. That's just nonsense. Just stupid. They want equals. They want identical rights. We are all equal in worth. But not identical in authority. fit mothers of the race are these, the courted comrades of the men they choose, rather than the slave of slaves. For theirs is the magic power. The power of limiting their families to such numbers as will permit them to live full-rounded lives. So what is she saying here? Oh, she's saying that you're supposed to use your body as power against your husband. Do you know how many women do that? Do you know how many women withhold the marriage bed from their husband? Withhold affection like that from their husband? Or husbands from their wives, whichever. But a lot of women withhold that from their husbands. And they use it as a power of manipulation to control their husbands. Well, the Bible says this about that. Now, concerning the things wherever you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. I don't have power over my own body. My wife does. My wife doesn't have power over her own body. I do. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. We have mutual power over one another. Amen. You better believe it hinders your prayers. That your prayers be not hindered. By the way, manipulating one another is not love. Manipulating your wife or a husband or a wife, manipulating each other, that's not love. I'll be very plain. You may not like this. My wife's body belongs to me. My body belongs to my wife. That's why I'm not allowed to take my body and go sleep around. Because my body belongs to her. And her body belongs to me. I don't really care who likes that or who doesn't. That's just the way it goes. That's biblical. That's the way that it is. It's biblical. It's God's order. It's God's way. Such lives are the expression of the feminine spirit, which is woman, she says. Such lives are the expression of the feminine spirit, which is woman. All of her. Not merely art, nor professional skill, nor intellect, but all that woman is or may achieve. Okay, that's the end of that chapter. We did not get to the next chapter. It's the one I want to cover with you on the next broadcast. The next Foundations Destroyed. I really hope these are helping you. I mean, they really are amazing. I'm going to go through the next one is called The Wickedness of Creating Large Families. I want you to know what they believe. And I've showed you the truth at the same time. All right. Do you want to say hi? Hello, how are you? We'll give you a chance here. Let's we'll play a song here. Let's see.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Poor or deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. Land where we'll never grow old, and someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. We'll walk the streets that are pure as gold.
All right, everybody, praise the Lord, and we will continue on here. Lord willing, we'll be back Wednesday, 2 p.m. Central Time. I might continue with this. We certainly have our Chiniqui series as well that we can go through. We also have, there's other things going on, obviously. There's some other things going on, but I'll tell you what, these really do hit home, and they're powerful. To try to get people to understand what's going on, you know, with this world and everything like that. Pray for our ministry. We're coming down to the wire here a little over 2 weeks to go before we head out to Canada. So you pray for us. Pray the Lord would continue to bless us and help us and guide us through everything and provide everything for us. If you'd like to give to our ministry, again, pray for us. Number one, we need your prayers. PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Venmo is PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Apple Pay is PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Cash App, I don't know how that works, but anyway, I think it's the last four digits of my phone number. I'm not sure, but it's 2935. I think, I don't know, but you can email me if you'd like to mail something, you can mail it to the bottom, or the address is at the bottom of our screen. Not that one, on our sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley page. Okay. It is right there. And it is 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. So, anyway, that's how you get a hold of us. And if you can't do anything at all, don't worry about it. Hey, people use it. I've had a couple people use Cash App, all right? All right, everybody. God bless you. Take care. We'll see you again soon.